Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, we'll speak with a former Chippewa Valley native who lives in Alaska about the close to 200 earthquakes that have rocked that state since Friday, including the big 7.0 magnitude quake that set things off about 8:30 local time Friday morning. Plus, the Salvation Army ringing the bell this Christmas. That's all coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. We begin with Sheila Cody. Along with her family, as a child, she lived in the Chippewa Valley from 1977 to 1982 and later returned from Alaska with her husband, Jesse, to live in the Chippewa Valley from 1997 to 2010. We spoke with her Friday afternoon, some hours after the earthquake of 7.0 magnitude had rocked Alaska. She described it for us.
Well, it happened about 8:30 this morning, and I happened to be home, and I had the door to our wood-burning stove open, getting ready to put a piece of wood in it when it hit, and I couldn't get the door shut for anything. It was just so violent. So not because I wanted to, but because there was no other option, I hit the floor, and it was intense. It felt like a freight train was hitting, and it just, you know, very, very massive.
Have you ever experienced anything like this?
Well, in Alaska, you do experience earthquakes, but usually sometimes you can't even feel them. They're just little tremors. We've had a few where you feel the house rocking and you can see different pictures and stuff kind of moving around on the walls, but this time, literally almost every, it looks like I'm about ready to move. Almost everything that was on my walls is now on the floor and just broken. You know, the stove moved, heavy things. My sister's heavy piano moved about 6 inches across her floor. Just a massive, powerful earthquake.
Sheila Cody says that Friday's Alaska 7.0 earthquake was a life-altering experience for her.
Well, 2 minutes probably doesn't sound long in the realm of, you know, our day, but it felt very long. And yes, it was so intense, Mark. I hit the floor. As you know, I'm not the most emotional woman. I don't cry easily. And I started weeping and just praying. And I kind of sort of joked with you that I was asking God for, I was repenting for the sins of generations, three generations deep. And that's a little bit of a joke, but not really. It's just like you feel the awesomeness of God in that moment, and you feel the smallness of your existence.
Yeah.
And it's just, it takes you to a different place.
As of the recording of this program, some 194 small earthquakes are said to have hit parts of Alaska since Friday, when the 7.0 magnitude tremor knocked out power, ripped open roads, and splintered buildings near Anchorage. When we spoke with Sheila Cody, 4:30 or so Friday afternoon our time, she told us about the numerous aftershocks that had already taken place since 8:30 Alaska time Friday morning.
Oh, we've had probably 10 to 15 aftershocks, and probably the last hour we haven't had one, but one of the last ones we had was that the aftershock itself was a 5-point-something.
Huh.
I talked with my sister who's in Anchorage, and both of us are, like, our legs are still kind of shaking. Just because you know that it's not over when you think it's over. It just, you're walking around your house and then it starts again, and you don't know if you should hit the floor or start praying or both, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I think the aftershocks keep everyone on edge.
Sheila Cody describes how her fellow Alaskans were coping with Friday's strange developments.
Well, just like you would expect, if you know, on Facebook, lots of people, including our family, opening up our houses to anybody who may not have electric right now. Ours went on, came back on. So just a lot of that, a lot of people doing whatever they can to help whomever they can. And then, of course, you have the flip side. My husband was out, and at the gas stations, and then you have people lined up, and you have people in the stores grabbing everything there is to grab, and so you have some people responding in kindness and some responding in fear.
Finally, Sheila Cody closes with a Bible passage, which she says strongly came to her mind as Friday's surprise quake hit her home state.
Yes, I thought of this scripture as I was laying on the floor praying, just the scripture that says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." And yeah, you just think of these things as you're feeling that your life, you know, just the brevity of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the power of God, for sure. And you experience
the power
that.
Power of God.
Thank you to Sheila Cody, a resident of Wasilla, Alaska, for joining us in our opening segment on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week. I'm Mark Halverson on WWIB and WOGO Radio. Meanwhile, we turn a corner now. A conversation I recorded on Saturday with Amanda Radel. She serves as Social Services Director for the Chippewa Valley Salvation Army. A common sight this time of the year is certainly the Salvation Army bell ringers. Amanda, about how many bell ringers will people see at any given point during the next few weeks out in the Chippewa Valley?
Oh, it's definitely starting to ramp up with a lot more people. You know, after Thanksgiving, we get a lot more people wanting a bell ring and just going out to all the different grocery stores and department stores that are bell ringing for us this year. So you'll be seeing a lot more people, especially when we get closer to Christmas, out there bell ringing.
Talk about how the Salvation Army works in the Chippewa Valley and what the proceeds go toward.
Oh, sure. So all the money that we collect through the kettles is our direct budget for the next year. So what we do is we have many different programs that we help residents of Eau Claire that are in need with rental assistance, with energy assistance, with gas vouchers for people to get to their jobs or to the doctor, bus tokens, and then we have a large hygiene center that offers toilet paper and laundry soap and shampoo and deodorant and all kinds of different things that folks can use once a month through the Salvation Army. So there's many different programs, and then, you know, seasonal programs too that we always collect the money for through the Red Kettle campaign at Christmas that we use for the next year.
And Toys for Tots is another effort that you're very involved with. I was really surprised when I heard how many different Toys for Tots drop-off locations there are.
Oh, yeah, Toys for Tots, we have 116 locations. Some of them open to the public, some of them just collecting with their employees, but everyone's being so generous with collecting toys for all the kids that have signed up through the Toys for Tots program. So we should be able to give them a very good amount of gifts for Christmas this year.
So, Amanda, that's an amazing number. I mean, I've been to a few different locations as I'm out and about as a salesperson during the day for a different business, and I've seen some of these. And so, Salvation, you're involved with all of those Toys for Tots locations?
Oh, yep. So I'm a volunteer for the Marine Corps, which is the Toys for Tots.
Right.
And so we've put that together with the Salvation Army. So since I work for the Salvation Army and I'm a volunteer for the Marine Corps, we get presents through the Salvation Army, and then we get presents through the Marine Corps Toys for Tots that we can give a lot more presents for those kids that might not have very many presents under the tree at Christmas.
Well, and that's something. So when are you responsible for? Do you have other folks working with you to collect? I mean, 116 boxes and all the toys that go with them. You need to have several different trucks, I think.
We have one truck, and then we have a group through the university that has a contact at Penske Truck, so they get a truck through them. So we have two trucks that go out and collect all day long on December 7th at all of the locations. And, yeah, we get it all done. We've got a lot of really great volunteers that volunteer each year to get everything done and accomplished. And we're usually done way before we think we're going to be.
That's important to hear in terms of December 7th, because that's just a few days away now. And as people hear this on December 2nd, it's just 5 days away. And so if they know about a drop-off location, get their present there, right?
Oh, definitely. And if people are not able to drop off the gift before December 7th, they can always drop it off at our office, at the Salvation Army office. We'll gladly take toys up until our distribution, because they'll be definitely used given away.
Either Eau Claire or Chippewa Falls.
Eau Claire would be the one that the office that they would drop off.
All right. Finally, Amanda, really want to cover in terms of how people can get involved, from bell ringing to, being on the receiving end of some of the services that you have as well. So if I want to become a bell ringer, what do I have to do?
You just go to www.registertoring.com. And it's really super easy to use, user-friendly website. Just type in your zip code, and it brings up all the locations and dates and times that are available to sign up. And then you just put basic information in and sign up for a shift and go to the store and start ringing the bell. So it's really super easy. And then to sign up for any of the toys for the receiving end, we are done taking our normal applications for the toys, but we do have a late sign up for folks that did not hear about it or maybe just experienced some difficulties or crises later on, maybe in just the last couple weeks. We are going to be doing that December 21st. We're going to be giving away all of our extra toys that don't go out with our normal distribution, and we're usually quite busy that day on December 21st, but if anyone wants more information, they can just give our Eau Claire Salvation Army a call, and we can speak with them and just let them know all the details.
And what number is that?
715-834-1224.
Now, finally, you must feel like Santa and Mrs. Claus and the elves, if you get all of these presents on December 7th, and then it sounds like over those next 2 weeks, these are being distributed. I mean, do you have lists from kids? How do you match the toys and the kids? That's just a gargantuan task.
Oh, yes. So on our applications, we have the parents fill out different toy ideas for the kids on tags, and they're called angel tags. So those angel tags go out to different businesses or churches, just regular community members in the area, and those are specifically bought gifts just for that child. So those gifts come back in. They're numbered. We have a numbered system to get them back to where they're supposed to be in their family bags. And then we actually put some more gifts along with it from Toys for Tots. So there's a list on the application, and there's a list on the tags. So we're able to get that child exactly what they would like for Christmas.
I bet that is so fulfilling.
It is. It's really cool, and it seems kind of difficult, but it's really easy once you get into the swing of things and get everything started and going.
Well, that is so so wonderful. Again, people have a few more days to go ahead and contribute a toy, a new toy, unwrapped in one of the various 116 boxes around at various businesses in the Chippewa Valley. And then the bell ringing, too, they can call, go to registertoring.com. That's easy. Sign up for a time and a location, registertoring.com. Amanda Radel, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
Finally, we close our opening Chippewa Valley This Week broadcast for December with some information and update on the horrible tragedy that occurred in the beginning of November in our area when three Girl Scouts and a parent were killed in a hit-and-run crash while picking up trash along a rural highway in Lake Halley. Earlier this week, we reported on WWIB and WOGO that the lone Girl Scout who survived that deadly crash has now been released from the hospital and returned home to Chippewa Falls to join her family. Madeline Zwiefelhofer leaving the hospital, but not before she underwent numerous procedures, including open heart surgery and treatment for two broken legs, a displaced pelvis, a broken cheekbone, a broken wrist, a broken arm, cuts in her kidney and spleen, and many other injuries. Madeline also suffered a brain bleed, which kept her in the hospital even longer. And as we continue to grieve and mourn and try to offer comfort and support to those who lost loved ones in that crash, we rejoice with the Zwiefelhofer family over Madeline's return home. Thanks for listening. I'm Mark Halverson.